How have you not seen this? And welcome back to How Have You Not Seen This? As always, it's me, your host, Dustin Meadows. Today I'm joined by Mandy Lee.
Oh, hi. Yeah.
And we watched probably the first time I'm going to say on the podcast what is not necessarily a great movie, not even necessarily a good movie, but it is a movie that I enjoy, starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson and Carl Urban and Rosamund Pike. And that guy from Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, whose name I can't remember. And the guy who killed Batman's parents in Batman Begins. And just, that's really about everyone. But we watched Doom, based on the popular first-person shooter video game of the same name. And, I can understand why, but I have to ask it anyway. How have you not seen this?
First of all, I'm a little offended that the day that you say not even necessarily a great movie is the day that you're also doing this podcast with me. Like, we could have spent 2 hours watching a film that would have inspired me, changed my life, like really like one that I needed to see. And instead, anyway, how what year did this come out?
Do you remember? I want to say 2005. Yeah, 2005 or 2005 or 2006. I remember I was in college when it came out.
2005. If it was 2005, I was having a baby. Oh, so I feel okay. Like perhaps that's why I missed it.
That makes sense.
And I think, you know, I think I was still, I would have been about, okay, so 16 or 17. And I think I was still becoming the nerd that okay. I am today. So I don't know if I had, because I know Wolfenstein, I remember pre-having a baby, downloading a lot of emulators and stuff on my computer and a lot of old video games. And so I knew I was aware of Doom and I knew I was aware of Wolfenstein, but I don't know if I was up to date that I knew that that movie was coming out. I think I was still discovering things.
That's fair.
And I could see why it maybe didn't get a lot of hype.
Yeah.
I can see a lot of people maybe be even being angry at that point that they cast The Rock in it.
That's also fair. I will say, you should not be angry. This is the movie that I chose to do. Because I do enjoy it. It's bad in a way that's fun. Like, I'm going to do other movies like this just to shake things up. I mean, there's only so many Godfathers and Jaws that I can watch with everybody. That's so every now and then, a Judge Dredd or a Doom is going to slip in
Judge
there.
Judge Dredd, like, okay, Judge Dredd, I get. I understand. So bad. But this movie, it wasn't even, I don't even know that you could call it good, but it had its moments. Like, I have mixed feelings. Like,
oh, it's absolutely not good. It's not good.
But I don't hate it because it had maybe three or four really awesome moments in it.
Yeah.
But it was, like, a lot of setup for those awesome moments.
Yeah.
Unnecessary amount of setup. It felt like it was 3 hours instead of two.
Yeah,
and it probably could have even been a shorter movie.
It definitely. I was looking at this movie clocks in at an hour 53.
It could have been an hour and a half.
Yep. And I remember talking while we were watching it, saying that I had forgotten for a movie based on a video game where literally all you do is shoot monsters in the face, there's so little shooting monsters in the face for like the first hour of this movie.
It was an awful long setup for what should have been. And even that sequence, like, are we allowed to do spoilers at all?
Yeah, if anyone is listening to a podcast about a movie, they should have seen it. Otherwise, how can we really talk about it? So that's yes, true. By all means, do not feel like you have to hold back talking about any aspect of the film.
I was even bored with that action sequence, as cool as it was, the first person
sequence.
Why did they do it for wheelchair guy? Like, he was fighting Pinky, yeah. And like he could have shot Pinky in the face, boom, moved on, and then all of a sudden you see The Rock coming at you, they spent 20 minutes of The Rock's fighting sequence was them, like, going around a banister, Acme Bugs Bunny style.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It didn't... Who directed this?
Andre something or other. I can't remember what else he's directed. I'll look it up while we're talking.
Because
his name looks
familiar. I really feel like it was... This movie felt like a case of too many chefs spoiling the pot.
I could see that.
It felt like... Maybe, did they even switch directors halfway through?
I don't think that happened. I think it was the same person from the start. And that I feel like as the... I don't feel like I've seen a great video game movie to date, or even a good video game movie. Like, I think the closest that they've come, Resident Evil Apocalypse, the second Resident Evil they did, is not bad. It's a fun action movie. If you're a fan of the franchise, it's a frustrating series. But the second Resident Evil, at least, as a popcorn flick, is fine.
Yeah, well, this clearly came out just for the novelty of it. What did it come out with? Do you remember? Because it feels like Hollywood bought the rights to something that they didn't know what they were working with because somebody else was going to come out with the movie and make it better, and they were going to lose money. I feel like the person who did this movie probably didn't play the game or wasn't a fan of the game.
Yeah.
The dialogue didn't even make sense. Like, they spent all this time developing characters, but not dedicating enough time on any one of the characters to make it worth the effort.
To make you really give a shit when they die.
And even for all the talk and dialogue, it had maybe two lines that made me laugh that were so cheesy.
Yeah.
Are we supposed to take the movie seriously? Are we not supposed to take the movie seriously?
I don't know. It's up in the air, I feel like.
Was it just storyboarded, or did it have actual writers? I don't know. This movie doesn't make sense to me.
Oh, no. There were writers. Like, this movie was clearly overwritten. and it suffers for it. Like I said,
the one cool sequence, they went after... kudos to them for even thinking of that. But the rest of it, like, even the shots, even, like, the movie didn't have a feel to it.
Yeah, it was very...
And admittedly, I'm spoiled for movies. I feel like it after, like, Alien, after Predator, after even Pandorum more recently, and Star Trek,
yeah.
it's hard to do space alien flicks, I would think. It's hard to... What do you do after that? Like, after Star Wars, after...
This will explain why this movie is the way it is. So, this guy, Andrzej Bartkowiak, I am probably butchering his name, I'm sure. He was a cinematographer. He was a cinematographer on stuff like Terms of Endearment, Prizzi's Honor, Twins, Falling Down, which is actually a great movie, Speed. So, like, he was involved in some decent films. His directorial debut was Romeo Must Die, a Jet Li action flick with him and Aaliyah. Aaliyah's...
But why?
Second to last thing, I think. And then he did Exit Wounds, Cradle to the Grave, both of which had DMX in them as a lead. Then Doom, and then the only thing he did after this was Street Fighter: The Legend of Chun-Li. So I think we know exactly how this happened.
But even as a cinematographer, I can see him doing Twins.
Yeah, Twins. I love Twins. I think Twins is great.
I think Twins, but it didn't require a lot of really cool shots. You know?
Oh, no, absolutely not.
Doing Falling Down, I don't understand why it wasn't even an artistic movie. There wasn't even like I've seen bad movies, but I'm like, you know what? It was more for the imagery. It was like a living painting or something.
Yeah.
But there was nothing. There was no.
Sometimes you want the paycheck. I get it. Like as much as I make fun of movies like this. If somebody asked me to be in a movie like this or to be involved, I would absolutely do it.
Maybe he felt above it because he did do Twins and Falling Down and all that stuff.
Well, he was only a cinematographer. He didn't direct those, though.
I don't get. And even the acting wasn't very good.
What are you going to expect from The Rock?
He got better.
You bite your tongue because The Rock is great.
He got better. Okay,
That's what I love is the character turn with him is so out of left field. Like, because really, like, you spend the majority of the movie thinking that he's probably the protagonist, that he's the guy you're going to identify with, and then, like, in that last 40 minutes, like, he's all about the job. He's like, no, we're going to take the stuff back. We're going to complete the mission. Then he's all like, no, we can't. These people are infected. We have to kill innocent people. And I was like... That came out of left field. And then right when he gets dragged off by the monster before he, like, mutates into, like, Super The Rock, mm-hmm. He even, like, just looks straight at the camera and says, I'm not supposed to die, before getting yanked off and then infected.
That's true. Well, you know, and I wonder, though, because we had read before we started recording that the John Grimm character, who ends up being the protagonist, was originally supposed to be The Rock. So I'm wondering if they did a lot of script changes last minute, because The Rock was clearly supposed to be the big name that really sold this movie.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if they rewrote it at the last second to give him more dialogue. But the sergeant, clearly was supposed to be just your typical Marine sergeant, what interesting stuff are you going to make him say, especially at the last minute?
Big fucking gun, for one. He had the best lines in this movie.
Semper Fi, motherfucker!
I think my favorite was Dr. Carmack's condition is irreversible, because his condition is that he's dead.
No, those are great. But they're scattered throughout, though. It takes an hour between each of his lines.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of buildup.
So, yeah, I'd just say, like, I can see maybe where John Grimm's character probably had more of a backstory, and they probably originally were going to devote way more time to him, but then Rock's like,
I feel like they give a good chunk of, like, a lot of that boring time in between is learning about him and his sister and their family. So, I mean, there is a lot of boring, fucking, irrelevant exposition.
But I feel like I can see where maybe the mix-up came in with I don't know. I'm trying to make excuses for it. I'm trying to make it a sympathetic movie.
I mean, it's still, like I said, it's not a great movie. It's not a good movie.
I'm confused. I'm angry that I'm confused.
Well, I mean, it's a very bizarre movie, and like I said, it's got a number of things going against it. Primarily that it is a video game movie. And to this day, we have not cracked the formula for making a good video game movie.
I could do it.
Oh, I'm sure there are plenty of people who could do it, but those people aren't doing
them. They don't get people that care about it, that are like, or they probably start with really great scripts, and then they're like, but you know what? We want this to appeal to a mass audience,
well, yeah,
so we're
going to
take out all the stuff that the nerds are going to love. But we are Legion. Like, we are strong. Yeah. Like,
but at the same time, like, people are still going to, like, fucking non-nerds, like, I went to see this with a handful of friends, and it was all, like, fucking college students, like, fucking frat boys and stuff. They're like, it's an action movie. They're going to be out in force for this.
Yeah,
it's the same thing with the Resident Evil
action.
Movies.
There's so
I agree, and I'm sure they were pissed because they got fucking tricked. But, like, on the outside, it looks like an action film. And it is. It just is a very light action film.
It doesn't make sense. I'm sorry, I can't even formulate thoughts. I don't understand why I'm so worked up about it, but I am. Because I feel like I remember the Doom video game having more depth and a better script.
There's literally no script.
But even the direction, the sequencing, and the imagery, like, it was
it's walking around.
The first-person shooter video game had cooler shots, like, as far as, like, camera angles and stuff than this movie
did. Like, the same four maps, though.
Yeah, but they used lighting to their advantage to set a mood. No, it did.
Only by the time Doom 3 came out.
Maybe that's what I'm remembering.
Yeah, about to say, because Doom 3 was the only
what was the color map for that?
Doom 3 was actually, like, they used, like, 3D models and stuff. The first two Doom games were looked like fucking Wolfenstein, basically.
Okay.
Like, where it was, like, that
Doom
pixelated monster. Yeah, Doom 3 was...
Why wouldn't they pull from Doom 3 a little bit?
Because Doom 3, I think, was still fairly newish when this came out. So, like, I mean, they pulled a little from it. Like, obviously, like, the pinky, like, the monster in the wheelchair thing. Like, that was from Doom 3.
I remembered that.
Yeah. So, like, there were some little things
that
they pulled.
Well, if they're going to pull it, well, then why wouldn't they pull, like... And even just film noir stuff, okay? You've got your creepy... Even Alien! It's, okay, you have creepy-looking monsters in outer space.
Oh, they borrowed pretty liberally from Alien, I feel like.
But why none of the like, they're in dark hallways, but they didn't use that to create a mood?
They
didn't even use a soundtrack to create any sort of tension that Doom 3, the video game, built up in you.
They did a couple of times, at least with the shadows. Like especially when they're in the sewers. Like, they definitely used, like, shadows to hide a lot of stuff.
Well, I must have been asleep because of the shitty dialogue.
The soundtrack was literally...
They picked up a gun.
It just sounded like drowning pool karaoke tracks. I think is what the soundtrack was.
I said, well, you know, it was so slapdash that if all that stuff that you noticed, I didn't, because I was so distracted by the shit.
Well, and I've also, this is probably the fifth or sixth time I've seen it, too. That's like, I mean, I do own it, so it is a movie that, like, I will crack out and I will watch every now and then.
Why, when you have so many other good ones? What do you like about it? What was your... You've not wasted 2 hours of your life, but at least 12. You've wasted, like, an entire day on this movie.
A large part of it is I genuinely enjoy watching bad movies sometimes.
But like, it's not
and,
even...
And they can be fun. I will say, this is slower than I remember it being. It's been a couple of years since I've watched this one. It is so much slower than I remember it being. And I think part of that is I'm more conscious of those things when I'm watching it with somebody who's never seen it before. Because then I feel like I feel like I'm kind of on trials. Like, I don't want to disappoint this person because I said, let's watch this. So, I mean, I think that's part of it. Part of it, I genuinely love The Rock in everything he's in. I really like...
I
get so excited when The Rock is in a movie.
I'm still mad at The Rock for the Mummy movies and The Scorpion King and how awful he was.
Yeah, but those movies are also just fucking awful to begin with, though.
Okay, so The Mummy's awful, but this one is... Well, it's fun. It's fun.
Well, I enjoy the first Mummy. The first Mummy, like, it's a bad fun. The second one is just... Oh, boy.
I think I never got into it because, like, the Scorpion King was so, so bad. And I liked the Mummy movies.
Yeah. Well, and part of it, too, is the CG in the Scorpion King is dog shit. It looks like ass.
It wasn't even CGI. It was, like, and nobody else noticed it. I pointed out to people, like, they never gave The Rock more than one line at a time.
Yeah.
Because at that time, he couldn't act at all. I will admit, like, I know, and from what other people tell me, he's grown into a better actor.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't know, I guess Vin Diesel fills my need for a big, beefy action movie guy.
See, like, Vin Diesel's good, but I don't think, like, The Rock oozes charisma. As somebody who grew up...
How does Vin Diesel not ooze charisma?
Because Vin Diesel is very dry. Like, he's very cool dry, but, like, The Rock...
I'm sorry, you go ahead.
I was gonna say, like... I grew up watching, like, a Raw, like, Attitude Era, WWE.
So you come into this so biased.
Well, it's not even that. Like, I genuinely, The Rock was my favorite wrestler. The Rock was the reason I started giving a shit about wrestling. Because he would come down to the ring, he'd cut promos, he'd make fun of everybody. And he was so entertaining. Like,
you know,
he was
one of the... Stone Cold.
Stone Cold was good, too. But nobody worked a mic like The Rock was able to. And then when it was like, hey, The Rock is going to be in movies now... That was such an obvious transition. Like, it made complete sense to me. Like wrestlers have done it before. Like, Hulk Hogan's done it to just awful, awful results. But The Rock, like, has actually somebody that's been able to jump into that role and do it.
Oh, good. I mean, I'll give him kudos, but I just never, because of, like, just my first experiences with him, I've never been drawn to anything else that he's been in.
The Rundown is another favorite of mine. I honestly, in retrospect, we probably should have watched The Rundown. Now that I think about it, especially because
this did not do anything to get me more into The Rock.
But we'll do The Rundown sometime.
But have you not seen the Vin Diesel interviews where he gets super giggly and talks about how much he likes Dungeons and Dragons?
Oh yeah.
Ballet?
Oh, I'm absolutely
very
familiar with it.
I love him.
No, he as a person, yes. As an actor, he plays very stoic roles, like very stern roles. I like him in those roles. Like, I love him in the Fast and Furious movies. I love him in the Riddick movies. Like,
Riddick is what it did for me.
Yeah, like, I don't think Vin Diesel is a bad actor by any stretch. I think when you compare the roles he takes to the roles The Rock takes, The Rock clearly, like,
has some
off,
sort of idea.
He leaps off the page at you. You see Vin Diesel, and you're just like, oh, this is a really good looking, like, tough guy. You see The Rock and you're just like, you're drawn to him.
Not me. Maybe it's the curly hair. I don't know.
Could be.
Like, he always had weird hair to me, especially when he was a wrestler.
Oh, when he was Rocky Maivia and he had the pineapple haircut. That was pretty rough. The Rock is a big part of it. I really like Carl Urban. And this was before Carl Urban had really, like, got, like, I think he had done the second Bourne movie at this point as the villain in it.
Oh, I didn't like any of the Bourne movies.
What?
They never.
Oh, those first three are so good.
Oh, you know what? Vin Diesel was also the voice of the Iron Giant.
Yes, I actually just watched that recently for the first time.
Did you cry?
Fuck yes, I cried. I'm a human being. Yeah, no, he's great in that. He's so good in the Iron Giant.
You know what? you know what? Maybe I didn't give this movie a chance. Maybe it was my, you know, I, for some reason, I can't separate The Rock and Vin Diesel from my mind.
Yeah.
And so the whole time I watch The Rock, I'm just like, I wish this were Vin Diesel right now.
Well, then just watch Fast 5 and Fast 6 and just have the best of both worlds. Have your cake and smell what it's cooking, too.
I'm sorry. I'm not letting you finish your thought.
Oh, no, I was going to say, like, Carl Urban is a huge part of it. At this point, he'd done the Bourne movies. He had been Éomer in the Lord of the Rings films. But, like, he hadn't really, like, jumped to leading status yet. Mm-hmm. He is my favorite part of the new Star Trek movies, as Dr. Bones. He's so fucking good in those.
Oh, I didn't even realize that was him.
Yeah. Like, the casting is good in those movies. The best casting that they've done is Simon Pegg as Scotty and Carl Urban as Bones. Just perfect in both those films. And then, of course, he's Judge Dredd in the Dredd reboot that came out a couple years ago.
I didn't see that one either.
Which,
I'm so,
it's so good. That
I'm
actually,
so behind.
But yeah, Dredd is one of my favorite movies, and Carl Urban is so good in that movie. So that's a huge part of it. And part of it is that I know going into this that this is a silly fucking movie. Especially the guy that played Portman, the guy who was Joe Chill in Batman Begins, has some ridiculous fucking lines.
He was good. He made it worth it.
He's so silly. Like, clearly he's the comic relief. And I'm trying to remember half the fucking shit he said now. Like, at one point, like, he's wearing women's shoes very early on, just because. Like, it was like, oh, this guy is a depraved degenerate.
He said obvious things, like, his lines weren't that great, but it's the way that he said them. Like,
yeah.
Like, what did he say? Could it be a fucking alien? Like, I don't know. What's the one where he turned over, and he said it with an S, not when he was, like, when it was, like, and not when he was, like, just turning into bitch mode, like, diva mode for a second. It was when he turned, and he said something with an S, and he spat, like, he just wad when he said it.
Oh, man. Yeah, I wish I could remember any of the
I think it was just like, close the stinking door! Like,
yeah. Just some ridiculous shit. Like, he was basically the Bill Paxton from Aliens role in this movie.
Yeah, he was so greasy.
Yeah, he was a fucking...
I wanted him in the pit. That was another thing that they could have done that would have made it more interesting. When, who was it? Goat came up and he said, it's a holding cell. I don't believe you. And he buzzed it.
Yeah.
That guy should have ended up in the holding cell and had, like, this crazy Rancor, like, fight.
Yeah. Like, but instead you got Destroyer, who had the baddest name of all of them.
Destroyer, and you got to see why he had the name. It was, yeah. That was when he's flipping the computer.
Yeah,
like,
that was one of the best
action
sequences.
What do you call this thing?
Flail?
Or some flail, a lasso.
Yeah, essentially using it like a flail.
That was awesome, and it was worth it to see it. And he didn't really have any other purpose in that movie except for that scene.
Yeah.
But you save time right there. Chop that character out. You didn't need him. He didn't do anything.
Yeah.
And then give that guy a really sweet scene of death in the pit.
Yeah. And it's and part of it too, I think, I really like kind of ensemble-based action films. Like, I think there's a lot of parallels between this and the first Predator movie.
Mm-hmm.
Predator's the most recent one. Aliens, of course. And then even, like, the Expendables films. Although, obviously, the star power isn't here in the cast with Doom. But I really like ensemble action films. Like, I'm always drawn to them. Obviously, this one, they're not all created equal.
Yeah, they didn't use the advantage.
No, certainly not. And sometimes they're just...
this was his first mission!
Oh, the classic lines? Yeah. Like, I was waiting on it, too. I was like, I feel like, because from the beginning, like, everyone is named so obviously. Like, the guy's code name is Kid. So you're like, this is a rookie, he's gonna fucking die, and he's not gonna see it coming, and it's, like, everyone's gonna be so deeply affected because it was, like, his first day on the job or whatever.
Well, that is it too. They didn't, like, there was, like, a minute of that where they were like, oh, you shot him, and then, like, but everybody else was dead at that point, so there was really nobody to mourn the kid's
death. Yeah.
But and then at the end they had that perfect moment. Okay, yeah, he blew up the rock, but they cut out the sequence, as it said on IMDb. They cut out the Mars,
like, the
exploding
explosion.
Sequence. What the fuck? For on that call. But then they also could have sent half done a callback and sent half of the rock to a different galaxy.
Yeah.
Like, they could have sent half the rock back to Mars, and then he just comes up and just bashes the rock's head in or something.
Yeah.
There's so many opportunities that they missed.
This may be the quickest, like, falling action in a film I've ever seen, too. Because it's literally, he beats The Rock, throws a grenade through the portal, blows out The Rock, saves the day. Then 15 seconds of him riding the elevator back up to the surface with his sister. And that's the credits. That's the resolution of this movie. Like, there's no long-winded exchange with, like, their superiors up top. Like, there's no, like, tease, like, maybe one of the monsters survived. It's just, The Rock is dead. 15 seconds of me riding up the elevator. End credits. Which is so weird. Because, like, usually there's at least, like, a good 5 or 6 minutes and shit like that after the last kind of, like, big fight of the movie.
Well, the thing is, and another thing that it said on IMDb, I'm, like, looking at the microphone, like, I'm addressing the audience, like, so you know what I'm referencing. Like,
oh,
so
of course.
On IMDb, it said that there was actually 6 or 7 violent scenes that got cut for violence. They based a movie on a game, Doom, known for its ultra-violence,
yep.
And they cut out the sequences. And that explains it, because there was a couple of other times in the movie where there would be a lot of dialogue, and then I felt like they were building for something with the dun-dun, and then it would be more dialogue.
I'm pretty confident we watched the unrated version. I think we got all of that.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Let me see the DVD.
It's right over there under... But yeah, I am pretty sure that's the unrated edition that we just watched.
Unrated extended edition. So there's no excuse. It's just bad writing.
Yeah,
it's just bad direction and bad writing.
Yeah, pretty much.
Action packed bonus features. First person. Oh. Oh my God! They didn't even use the first person shooter sequence in the movie that was shown in theaters.
No, they did.
What's it? Survive a longer, never before seen version. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's why it felt like it lasted longer.
Yeah.
Than it needed to.
But yeah. And that's
it. They missed so many opportunities of a build-up and a cool thing that could have happened that would have made the movie more interesting. They didn't care. They didn't care, and that's what makes me mad. Yeah. They had all the elements there. And they didn't care.
I kind of would have been okay seeing this movie entirely from that first person. Because, I mean, how many, like, this would have been the one time where it would have been appropriate for this to have been a found footage type movie.
Yeah, look how many movies are popular nowadays
exactly.
That are from the camera. Don't give it a couple of years. They'll remake it.
Oh, absolutely.
I thought it used to have to be like 20 years before a movie could
be
remade.
Oh, no. I think there was less than a decade between the last Spider-Man and the most recent Spider-Man. So.
Although I thought, isn't it two different storylines? There's Spider-Man and then there's Spider-Man with a dash. Or isn't it like the Amazing Spider-Man and then the...
They rebooted it pretty much. I mean, it's still the same property and still the same characters, so...
But one has Mary Jane and then one has...
Gwen Stacy. But that's just because they're actually going back to the original, like, story stuff. I mean, it's still the same property. The Sam Raimi Spider-Mans just start later on in the Spider-Man story. And then the... Mark Webb one's the most recent one. Just decided to start at the very beginning.
I'm like emotionally affected.
I'm going to tell you right now, there's no use crying over spilt doom.
I honestly have not been this upset since Troll 2.
Oh God, now
Troll 2. Like
I feel bad that I've unleashed this on you.
I have a 2-hour drive home where this is like what I'm going to be thinking. I'm crying. I'm actually crying.
I never thought about the psychological ramifications of making somebody watch Doom for a podcast.
Because it's not that hard. They had the money. They had the star power. They had the ensemble. They did nothing with it. And I just think, if I had the resources, what I would do with it? Will you do the Doom reboot for me?
If you secure the funding, I will write...
Well, we have to get the script first.
I will write...
And we can't... We have to demand. We have to make the script. We have to demand creative rights and creative control over the final product. Otherwise, they will just storyboard the shit out of it.
I do have one stipulation.
Uh-huh.
The Rock absolutely comes back for the reboot.
Yeah. Because we didn't see Mars blow up. We don't even know that the
bomb went off. No. It'll be a strict reboot. If I'm doing a fucking Doom movie, this Doom did not exist.
They didn't... Oh, my
Scorched
God.
Earth, I'm motherfucker.
I feel sick. It could have been the popcorn. Because I definitely sucked and ate the kernels, too. Because I love butter.
Classic kernel sucking. I don't think you need to get this bent out of shape over it, because It is one of the dumbest movies I own. One of the dumbest movies that I actually enjoy.
But it was Doom. If it was just any old space alien movie. You know, any old, but it had the name Doom on it.
I was so... there.
How could they let this happen?
This is the least angry I've been over a video game adaptation. Because it's an adaptation of Doom. Which, in retrospect, sure, helped pave the way for a lot of stuff. Does not hold up to the scrutiny of time. I'm
sorry,
much angrier that the Resident Evil films were botched as bad as they were.
Okay, that's a different animal.
And Silent Hill as well, so.
But Doom, it was the first one. It's the nostalgia. It's childhood. It's my childhood that they're fucking with. The first time that I was scared, the first time that I had to play a video game with the lights on was Doom. And this...
See, but here's the thing.
Okay,
here's the thing. Because to me, this is the same kind of thing with people that are getting pissed about the new Ninja Turtles. It doesn't fucking matter. It doesn't go back in time. It doesn't erase your memories of that. It doesn't change what it meant to you.
It's like
it doesn't change the fact that you can still play it and still enjoy the original incarnation.
It's some piece of shit stepdad coming in and fucking my mother is what it is. I remember my mother young and beautiful and happy and perfect. And then some dude just comes along and just shoots jizz all over her chest.
But guess what? Now it's over. We've talked about it for the podcast. You never have to see Steve ever again. I assume every stepdad is just named Steve. That's kind of my default stepdad name. But now you never have to deal with it again. And that's why...
But that doesn't wipe his cum off my mother's titties.
Well, no, she has to do that. She's an adult.
Can Doom do that?
I think so. You never have to see this again. Your mom's doing great now. Everything's okay. Doom's gonna be okay.
Is it over? Are we done?
Well, I'm not gonna end a podcast with you crying. So let's get back to a level of equilibrium here. Let's find a balance. So let's end on a closing thought. Let's end on something positive. Something we enjoyed about this.
It was kind of cool seeing that guy's legs wriggle on the floor without the rest of his body.
There you go. Glowing review from Mandy Lee. Not a good movie. I still think it was fun, even though I am now much more hyper aware of the pacing issues that exist within this film. Anyway, Mandy, thank you for doing the podcast.
I'm really glad I drove 2.5 hours back to see that.
Oh, God, stop. You're making me sound like a monster now. Thank
you.
It's
not your fault.
God.
It's not your fault you didn't know.
Thank you for doing the podcast.
Thank
you guys
for the popcorn.
No problem. Thank you guys for listening. We'll catch you next time. Join me next time when I take Mike Czar and Lisa Barry through the action movie that sets the bar for all action movies, Die Hard. Like the page on Facebook, subscribe to us on iTunes, leave us a review as we get ready for our live show tomorrow night with Ghostbusters and Shadowbox Live in Columbus, Ohio. Send any questions for the show to howhaveyouNotSeenThisPodcast@gmail.com, and we'll catch you next time.